Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Susie Mork, who joins us on the phone from Aurora, Colorado. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is October 5th, 2014, and I'm talking with Susie Mork on the phone from Aurora, Colorado. Susie, what is your full name, date of birth, and hometown, please?
Suzanne Marie Mork, June 7th, 1949. Hometown is Owatonna, Minnesota.
What high school did you attend, and what year did you graduate?
Owatonna, Minnesota High School, and 1967.
What is your very first memory of taking an interest in music?
I remember my mom used to play this. We had a phonograph, and she used to put the records on for me, little 78s, and then she'd play them, and I'd sing along, and she got me into doing that, and then finally she got tired of having to start the record over and over again, so she said, come on, crawl up on the chair and put the arm on here and then play the music, and I must have done that, probably drove her absolutely out of her mind. I can remember the looking at the record, and it was Buffalo Gales, won't you come out tonight, come out tonight, come out tonight. It was that one, and I remember doing that over and over. I must have drove her nuts.
And you are how old at this time?
About two.
2 years old, and you are operating a record player.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, about 2 years old.
What happens next?
We lived next door to the pastor from our church, and he got me a white plastic pearl clara flute. I think it's kind of like a clarinet and a fluke. And I played that. And then when I was seven, I got a Lone Ranger cardboard guitar. It says Lone Ranger and Tonto on it. And I remember, now this is kind of weird, but I remember tuning the strings to play Pipeline to it.
This is a real, actual guitar.
It's a cardboard guitar with plastic strings. I mean, it's a good-sized guitar, but it has Lone Ranger and Tonto on it. I remember that. And I could actually tune the strings, and I remember trying to tune them to Pipeline. And I don't, you know, that would be, you know, on down the line, but I must have still had that until I got my real guitar. So.
Did you play in the school orchestra?
I started violin lessons in fourth grade, and I went through the ninth grade in orchestra in Owatonna High School. There was a time when they had a parade in the grade school. They said, well, Susie, you and this person there, you seem to have this going. You learned the E-flat alto horn? And I said, yeah, and it's not a saxophone. It's an E-flat alto horn. So we learned it so we could march in the band because they needed those horns. We learned two songs. I kind of remember the melody.
Were you watching the Ed Sullivan Show in February 1964 when the Beatles made their debut performance in the United
States? Don't you think so?
I have a feeling you were.
Of course I was. I can remember I was laying on the living room floor just staring at the TV.
How did it impact you?
I wanted to play in a band. Oh, God, I wanted to be like them. I thought that was the coolest thing in the whole world.
Did you have a favorite Beatle?
It was Paul, of course.
Did you notice a difference right off the bat, like when you went to school and the impact the Beatles had?
Oh, gosh, yes. Everybody in Owatonna, there were so many bands that started up, pop-up bands. I mean, probably five or six bands just in Owatonna alone.
Now, I understand your mother played a role in having you switch from playing violin in the school orchestra to playing guitar. How did that happen?
My grades were not doing too good in high school in the ninth grade because we always get pulled out of class to go to practice for orchestra, and my grades weren't doing too great. I never did like algebra too much, and so she said to me, she said, well, would you like to trade your violin for electric guitar? And I said, yes, just like that. And so she went down to Hanson's Music Store and traded the violin in for a guitar and an amp for me. And it was a Fender Duosonic. It was kind of a Sunburst. And then Fender Vibraverb amp, I believe. Vibraverb. It was great. It was kind of that brown color that they're trying to bring back now on the old Fender amps. Yeah. So.
Did you take lessons?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know anything about chords, and so I needed to know how to play chords so you could do something. So at Hanson's Music, where she traded the violin, and they were giving guitar lessons because everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon. And so John Putnam was the rhythm guitar player for Little Caesar and the Conspirators, and he was giving lessons there. And so I signed up for lessons, and he showed me the bar chords, and I got the bar chords and stuff. And then that's where I met Carol Moe, and she was taking lessons from him, too. And so that's kind of how the band got together, the Exotics.
And that's your very first band?
Yes.
And who's in your first band?
Carol Moe, and she's playing rhythm guitar to begin with and singing. And then I played lead guitar and sang backup. Sue Green was taking lessons from Little Caesar and the Conspirators drummer Jim Barnholt. We got together with her, and then Carol's cousin, she talked her cousin into starting bass so we could try to get a band together, because they wanted us to put a band together, and we could practice downstairs at Hanson's Music Studio sometimes. So we did that, and they would help us learn songs and show us how to learn songs and listen for what and whatever. So that's kind of how that came about, except for Sue Green didn't want to be in our band unless her friend Sue Conklin could be in the band, and she had a 6-string bass, and she wasn't, I don't recall her taking lessons there, but I'm not sure how that actually came about. But so we said, okay, well, we'll have 2 bass players then, 6-string and a 4-string for now. So we did.
So your very first band is called what?
The Exotics.
And that's 1964?
Yes.
And what kind of music does your first band play?
A lot of Beatles, because we were just totally in awe of the Beatles. So a lot of Beatles.
How did you like playing live?
It was a kick. I loved it. I just loved it.
You weren't nervous?
Yes. Always got nervous.
So you...
I think we always got nervous when we first got up on the stage.
So and you're... Then, how old in your very first band when you first started?
In the 9th grade, so what is that? 14? 15?
I would have to think that being in an all-female rock band in a relatively smaller city in the mid-1960s was rather unique, to say the least. Did the band get written up in the local newspaper, or were you ever on the local radio or local TV station?
I'm sure we were written up in the Owatonna paper. I'm sure of that. I don't know that I have any of that. I know that we were written up one time when we got in our accident with our van, though. I've got that.
Oh, how'd that happen?
There was a semi, and it pulled out in front of us and swerved and rolled it in the ditch. And I remember when I came to, I was like in the back seat where the doors are, and the guardrail had come right through, and like my arm was kind of around it, actually. But, you know, nobody got seriously hurt. Sue Green got a little hurt. She had a bad back for a while. But nobody got seriously hurt, thank goodness. So I know that was in the paper. As far as being on television,
or
the 19th Amendment was on television.
They were.
And it was on Mel Jazz in the afternoon. And for the life of me, I know that even Denny has looked for this, and nobody can seem to find it, but we were on it. And we played Uncle Jack by Spirit. And Judy will debate that with me, and she thought it was Jumping Jack Flash. But I know that I'm correct.
So nobody has a copy.
No, I don't know what happened or where it is in the archives or whatever, or Mel Jazz Theater, whatever thing. It was in the afternoon about 2:00 in Minneapolis. There was, we did play live, but I don't know what happened to it.
How did your fellow students treat you at school, knowing you were in a band at such a young age?
The girls really didn't like us. Because they always thought we were after, you know, we were hanging out with all the guys in the band. You know, we always hung out with the musicians. And they were all guys except for us, basically. So they didn't like us very much, you know. We were kind of, they were in their own clique, and we were not kind of outcasts. And, you know, I didn't get to go to a prom. I was playing, you know.
So there was an issue with the girls, but not the guys?
Right.
What happened to the Exotics?
When they disbanded in 67, the Exotics changed the name to 19th Amendment, and that was, I believe, 66, and because the name just wasn't right. In 67, everybody relocated to Minneapolis, and it didn't work out for Sue Green to be commuting and still going to high school because she was a year behind us, date-wise, and we weren't making a lot of money, and so we just disbanded.
Okay. Can we run through a list of all the gals who played in the two bands?
Sure. Okay, the Exotics, first, me, of course, lead guitar and vocal. Carol Moe, rhythm guitar, keyboards and vocals. Linda Knutson, bass, guitar and vocals. Sue Conklin, six-string bass and vocals. And Sue Green, drums. And then the change when we moved to Minneapolis was Sue Hubble on keyboards and vocals. And then she left, and then Jan Eglin on keyboards and vocals. And Kathy Johnson, Whitey, on bass guitar and vocals. Judy Cottrell on drums and vocals. And then when Jan Eglin left, then Jackie Balzer came in with keyboards and vocals, and Gail Young was lead vocal.
Did the band do any recording?
Yes. We recorded You Better Change, which was an original written by me, and four cover tunes, and that was it. Never pressed the vinyl.
How long did the 19th Amendment last?
1970. The last job was at CC Tap on Lindale in Minneapolis.
What did you do after the 19th Amendment came to an end?
I worked. Got a job and worked for a couple of, about a year and a half in Minneapolis, and I decided I needed a change of venue because boyfriend issues, let's put it that way. And so I moved to Colorado.
What year?
1972.
Why did you choose Colorado?
Actually, in 1971, Jackie Chicken and I took a trip over the 4th of July weekend just to drive to Colorado just to get out of Minneapolis. And I thought it was awesome. I loved it. I just loved it. So when we got back, I said, you know what? I'm going to move to Colorado. I'm just going to do this. And I actually had a horse. One of Jackie's friends named Kathy had a horse, and so she was ready to move out of Minneapolis as well. And then we knew this guy named Jack who lived upstairs from where I lived, and he said, yeah, well, let's just go to Colorado. So we packed up the horses, and we brought them out, and we found a place to live, and I had horses out here and had the dogs out here. And I heard an ad on the, I think it was KFML in Denver. It was an all-girl band looking for a lead guitar player. And I thought, well, this is kind of ironic. So I called up and I talked to them, and they said, yeah, you know, we're looking for... I said, well, I'm not going to be able to move out until May, and this was like January. And they said, yeah, we'll wait for you. We want a really good lead guitar player. Well, I was in that band for a short time.
What was the name of the band?
Meek.
Okay.
So
you started with them in May of 72?
Yep.
And it lasted 6 months?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Yep. What happened after Meek?
The drummer from Meek, which was actually very good, she's good. She and I and three guys formed a band called Montage. And you know, I want to say one of the guys in the band is Paul Stenvik. And his uncle was a mayor of Minneapolis or something to do with Minneapolis or governor or something. Somehow he had some kind of political person in Minneapolis, believe it or not. But anyway, he was out in Denver, and so we put this band together, and then we went through a booking agency, and I can't remember who that was, and they booked us all over the place. I mean, they booked us in Florida. They booked us all over the country. But the lead singer lost his voice. It was terrible. It was a train wreck. So we just disbanded on the road.
So that would have been in 1973?
Right. So then 74, 75, I didn't play anything. I just quit playing totally, got a job, and quit playing. Then in 1976, I got a call from Jackie Chicken, and her husband then was Danny Tyon, and they were thinking about coming out to Colorado and forming a band. They were in a band called Chicken and Stars. They said, yeah, and we got a couple guys, and we're going to come out, and we thought maybe we could put something together. And we did. I was real rusty. I remember being so damn embarrassed because I was rusty, really rusty. Got it back together, and then we played. We played in Minnesota, played all over the place. Lots of holiday inns and that kind of stuff, that kind of music. Even that's when the disco stuff was really popular.
And that band
lasted for about a year.
And that band was Creation?
Yep, Creation.
And that lasted until when?
About a year. So we started in 76, and it ended in 77.